This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Just watching a guy a while ago release a barracuda. It's pretty dark. Looked like it was right at dusk or right at daylight, and he's hanging over the side of the boat, and he keeps playing with his fish and trying to get it revived, and then all of a sudden a big old shark just comes and takes it away from him right out of his hands. He's lucky to have a hand.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, you do. I've always worried about that when I was wade fishing, when you reach down and grab a trout with your hand.
Oh man.
And you know, when the sharks are kind of bad.
Can you imagine?
that would not be good. Draw back a nub.
Hey, Captain Mickey, if it was you against a shark, I'd pray for the shark.
No, I'll tell you what, I'll praying for that boat to be close. I've had a few put me in the boat over the years. I had a bull one time chase me completely off a flat. I was dragging my fish. I was in a tournament, and I had to have those fish, and he wanted them, and he kept tailing me like a puppy dog, and it was a big one. He had a head. I mean, his head was a foot wide or better. It was a big bull.
Yeah.
And I went up and got in, like, knee-deep water, as shallow as I could, to walk down the shoreline to get back to my boat, and he followed me like a puppy dog all the way back to the boat. I'm holding my fish out of the water.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't eat them. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The next day we were back there, and we tried fishing out of the boat, and we were throwing topwaters out of the boat, and I get this one, I mean, a huge fish on. I mean, it's a big trout, and he was in the 8 to 9 pound range, and I needed that fish for a tournament.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this fish starts launching out of the water, turning cartwheels, and I said, man, this ain't right. A big trout just does not do that. Well, the second time he jumped and he hit the water, it just went limp, and I reeled ahead in. That big bull shark got my big trout.
Oh. Man.
The head and the shoulders weighed 6 pounds. That was a big fish.
Damn.
He got me. And that's amazing how they do it. You can reel in 2 and 3 pounders. They won't mess with them. They want those bigger fish. If it's 5 or bigger, they'll jump on him in a heartbeat. So, and it's shark season. They're coming in. It's time.
Be careful.
All right. Let's go to Jim on line two. Kentucky Windage Jim from Santa Fe.
Good morning, Captain.
What's going on, man?
Hey, did you see that picture I sent you?
Yeah, that saber?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that?
The story behind it is down in Bayou Vista, there's this old guy, and he had air conditioning problems. Mm-hmm. It was before the pipe. So anyway, I fixed his AC, and he gave me like a tour of his house. Man, he had guns, swords, costumes, uniforms, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I said, hey, can I bring my son over? My son was only about like 13 or so at the time. So we went down there that next weekend, visited with him for about 3 hours or so. He ends up, there's a 35 Remington, or no, a Browning semi-automatic. It's Barr actually designed it for prison guards.
Right.
So anyway, he said, yeah, take this, you know, when you get a chance, see if it works, and give me the money for it. So anyway, Ike hits, right? His whole bottom, he lost all kinds of stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I hadn't seen him. Then about 2 or 3 years later, I get a call, go there to fix the AC again. His daughter's there. I said, hey, what's up with, I forget his name. But he said, or she said, well, he's in the hospital. He's not doing real well, but he's okay. I said, well, I owe him $155. I gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like 2 years later. Anyway, I had looked around before and saw this saber. He had like two of them. And he explained to me that Patton designed it, General Patton,
right,
when he was a lieutenant. Okay?
George Patton.
Yep. So anyway, after that, it was like, I don't know how many years it's been. I go to this call, first call on Friday to clean up this lady's air conditioning. By the time I'm done, running a credit card and everything, paying for it, she goes, "Your name Jim Brass?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." He says, or she says, "I got something for you." She comes out of the one bedroom, the front bedroom, and has this saber. I said, you're the daughter. Oh, yeah. Everything just fell into play. It was kind of, I don't know, it's karma or something.
Yeah, I got you.
But, yeah.
So
now
he,
I have
he
my
gave family. You that saber, that sword.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. He had passed away 5 years ago, so she
right.
kept it in the closet for, it's even got my card stuck on it. You know, I'm keeping it that way. Yeah. It's like, wow.
That's pretty cool.
The things that happen in life is, I don't know, it's pretty neat. But yeah, about a foot of it at the tip. I'm not sure if it was in water or not, but I cleaned it up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little scratch pad and some oil. But yeah, 1914 says on it.
Get some brass oil out. How many times have you used Brasso on stuff over the years?
You know the hell that I caught when I was in the Marine Corps?
Oh, man. Get those buckles polished, baby. Get them buckles right.
Corporal Brass. Yes, sir.
Now, no, that's pretty cool.
It is. It's
You know, my dad, he was a scout in World War II. And I forget what island he was on, and his partner was a Blackfoot Indian guy. His name was Swan, and I mean they spent the whole time in the war together. I mean they saved each other so many times. They were just, you know, they were joined at the hip, and
sort of like the Wind Talkers.
Yeah, and but Swan, they were scouting this river. And they were going down this riverbank, and they looked over, and there was a mouth of a cave over there on the other side of the river. And he saw this Japanese officer standing in the mouth of that cave with those big-time patent leather boots on, and he wanted those boots. So they ended up flipping a coin to see who was going to shoot him, and the guy that shot him, the other guy had to swim the river and go get the boots. And so anyway, my dad won the toss, so he got to make the shot, and Swan swam the river and got the boots. Well, he got a saber and a sword off of that officer also, and swam back with it, and my dad got the saber, and he said it was unbelievably beautiful. It was razor sharp. He said you could split hairs with it, and the handle had emeralds and everything inlaid into the handle of it. Well,
wow.
My dad hung on to that for forever, and when they were coming home on a ship, he lost that in a crab game. Can you believe that? What do you think that sword would be worth these days?
With inlaid emeralds and stuff?
Oh
my
yeah.
Goodness.
Rubies and, you know, jade and everything else inlaid in that handle. And, but it's, you know, it's a small world. And actually that river, that they were on, that's where they, you know, had a big, big firefight there in the river. And it turned out like 50 years later, we're having a fish fry. And one of the guys that worked for my dad had married a Japanese woman when he was stationed in Okinawa, and her father came to that fish fry with us, and it turned out him and my dad were in that same battle and fought against each other, and both of
wow.
them lived through it.
My goodness.
You talk about, you know, making a full circle. Isn't that weird how things
yeah.
work out?
Yeah. You know, and during the years I used to think, you know, what happened to him and blah, 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 and it'd be nice to have that sword.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have it, the saber. And it's like, wow. It's pretty badass.
People, you know, it's just, you know, collections, you know, and people hang on to that stuff forever. You just never know what people have until they're gone, and then the family just kind of discards stuff like that that is very valuable and sentimental to a lot of people. So that's kind of like antique and vintage fishing tackle.
You haven't looked at my stuff yet.
Oh, I've heard all about it. I've heard all about it.
But maybe I should bring that down for when we go hunting.
Yeah. Show and tell.
Give us something to do instead of kill stuff. Yeah, I was going to bring that 35 with me. That's a good good hog killer.
Yeah, what is it, like a 35 Whelan? You know, but it's
it's semi-automatic. It only has...
But it was made by Browning. It's BAR, Browning Automatic Rifle.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And it, I think it holds 3 rounds, but from when I shot it before, it's pretty accurate, just with the open sights on it. So
yeah.
Because that's what I used to use up in PA, was a 35 Remington pump with a scope on.
You know, if you can get the hogs close, but in South Texas, man, you got to make long shots. You got to have a scope.
Long shots.
Yeah, it's all the feeders are, you know, $130 to $150 out, and a lot of the, you know, the better animals, they're going to stay 200 yards out or better.
That's good to know, because
come hunt down there, you need to bring a rifle with a good scope on it and bring good binoculars so you can look them over good before you make the shot.
Well, how's that work with, 3.5 days?
It's 3.5 day deal. Yeah.
And you're psyched in the first half day or something?
Well, you just get there and, you check your gun, make sure it's on, then you go out and make an evening hunt.
Okay.
Started off like that. Yeah.
That'll work.
All right, Jim. Well, hey, you have a good one. Nice talking to you, and happy Sunday and all that good stuff. And we'll be talking to you.
Hey, anything on Cajun Pete?
Hadn't heard a word. I have no idea.
Huh.
That's never a good sign when they just disappear like that.
It's been, 2 years now?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yep. All right. Well, happy fun Sunday, everybody, and I'll keep on.
Jim. We'll see you, bud. All right, man.
Bye.
Take care. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning, 5:17 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our phones.
I think that's fucked.
Captain James Plog, what is up?
Yo, Mick, what's up, buddy?
Oh, not a lot. What are you doing, man?
Just to put it on a step, baby.
Spooling up, getting ready to roll.
Just to spool her up, baby.
Oh, man, hammer down. Let's go get some. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Switching locales. Making a move.
Well, how's the wind down there? Has it come down any?
Oh, Mickey, a minute ago it was down and had maybe some 15-mile-an-hour gusts, but no, it's nothing like yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's better. Now I'm kind of showing a kind of a south-southwest direction.
It's 100% due south, and it could be have a little west in it. Not a lot.
Right.
Not a lot.
I got you. Yeah, I'm showing south-southwest.
South-southwest, buddy.
South-southwest. Master and commander, baby.
It should be about maybe 12 to 15.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not calling for it to be as high today. It's supposed to pick back up tomorrow, though, and for the rest of the week. It's supposed to be howling pretty good, so.
It was a split skirt alert yesterday, buddy.
Split skirt alert?
It was yesterday. There was some skirts flying up yesterday.
Oh, that's funny. I bet there was.
But I got the same guys today that we had yesterday. They're not sick of us yet. Well, they probably are sick of me, but they're here for 2 days. So
that's
all right.
They
got to put up with me today.
Well,
but when we catch your Steve, Mike? 19 and 2. No, I'm counting that fish that was on the bank. 18 trout, 2 flounders, what we call.
Okay. Well, that ain't bad.
And it would just like somebody grinding your teeth with no Novocaine. It was bitter, dude.
Oh,
it was brutal.
Boy.
We caught some fish early, and then Mike Bain and them got on them a little bit right there, about 2:33.
Yeah.
And had a good topwater bite in the morning. We missed a lot of fish. Should have done a little bit better than what we did. And then they got on them on the slamming chicken bass asses. They're just rolling tails.
Slammers.
Yeah, the slammers was on. I'm not a good judge. I got like 1,000 of them shrimp colored ones and like 1,000 of them slamming chickens. I'm not a big,
right.
I'm not a big changer.
No.
But it was okay. All the fish were nice. You know, all nice trout. We didn't catch nothing. Well, I did. We caught maybe 2 little old dinks.
Yeah.
2 or 3, but it was brutal. It was blowing. All them people charging out there, dripping out of the boat. I don't know what they think they're going to catch. I'm sure somebody caught something, but.
Was there activity yesterday? A lot of people.
Unbelievable.
Really, it's stern with a stick kind of fishing.
Yeah. Now when we came in, we were the last of the Mohegans, brother. There wasn't nobody left.
They'd already bailed, huh?
They had already been French fried. That's like today. You know, everybody's fried out after yesterday.
Oh, I bet they are. Yeah, fighting that wind, and especially if they didn't catch anything.
Yeah, because it was tough. I mean, we fished hard to catch what we catch, and these guys here are big-time fishermen.
How's the water holding up? Is the clarity staying good enough, or is it starting to deteriorate with all this wind and the fresh water and everything?
Oh, the water, you know, not, of course, open water, Mickey, it's no good. Mm-hmm. But on the shore, it's, you know, the tides are so high, the water's beautiful.
Right.
On the shore, I mean, you can look out there not too far, and it's no good. But the shorelines are good.
Well, I remember we used to be waiting. You'd have just that clear strip of water on the shoreline. You'd look out about 5 feet of water, and it was just liquid mud. Every fish in the world would pull into that clear water.
Well, it's the same thing. Me and Dan talked about that exact thing yesterday. We were sitting there fishing. The only difference was 20 years ago, we'd done caught about 30 in there.
Yeah.
Instead of 3.
Right.
Hey, but you remember how them mullet used to raft up? I don't know where the mullets is at. That's what we were talking about. You know, when it would get like that and they're in that clear water, remember the mullet would raft up. You used to go fish underneath the rafts of mullet. And there's mullet. I mean, you see bait.
Yeah, but I mean,
where's the raft?
We've got a tenth of the mullet we used to have.
Remember, they would just make the water slick. There'd be so many mullet rafting.
Remember this time of year on a full moon, the mullet migration heading to the Trinity River mouth and on the east shoreline? There would be 5 and 10 miles of mullet jumping, thousands of them heading north.
Head north, for sure.
And buddy, they'd get up there in all that Anahuac and Jack's Pocket and raft up out in the middle. And you didn't even have to find slicks or anything. You just drift in on those rafts of bait and throw mirror lures under it and catch all the big trout you ever dreamed of.
I don't know what happened to the mullet.
I
mean, there's mullet, but there ain't mullet. Now, that sounds stupid, but, I mean, you see bait, but not, you know. We hit a lot of good stuff yesterday that there should be fish. Maybe they just weren't biting.
Hey, you used to get a run at night out there, and you turn a spotlight on, and those mullet would fly out of the water for miles. You don't see that anymore. Not like
that. They'd run in the side of your boat.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, man.
But, yeah, I think yesterday for us it was – I'll take it. We'll see what happens today. I'm going totally off the cuff.
Well, I wish you the best, and –
I just need it.
Wanted to check in with you this morning to see if you were going to have an attack plan.
Well, I got a plan. I don't mean it's a good one, but I got one.
Well, if it all comes together and you get them, that's when them plans work out real good. That's what you look
for. Hey, the way I figure that stuff, and I tell my guys all the time, if you ain't willing to be no zero, you ain't never going to be no hero.
That's exactly right.
You ain't willing to get burned. But every now and then, man, you hit it right, and it was worth the ride.
Yes, sir, it was.
But it ain't too bad, Mick. This morning, nothing like yesterday. But I got a pretty good run. I got to run about 15 miles. So I'm just going to put her on the stage.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to let you get to it so you can get to your honey hole before anybody beats you there. There'll be somebody sitting in there this morning.
100%. 100%.
All right, James.
All right, buddy. I'll holler at y'all a little bit.
Hey, man. Stay out of trouble, man, if that's possible.
Right,
all right, later, man. All right, let's go to John from Tiki Island on 2. John, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's going on?
No, not much. Good morning, Captain Mickey. How you doing?
Good, sir. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Pretty good. Say, Captain Mickey, for about the last 2-3 years, I've been helping an ornithologist who's been studying oyster catchers around this part of West Bay. And she finally got some funding to where she could buy herself a new boat. And we were I was helping her out on Monday of this last week, and she was telling me that one of the mechanics had told her that on a work boat with a Yamaha 110, that she, a four-stroke, she could probably get about 1,000 hours out of that motor. And she bought a brand new. She's maintaining it a lot. I told her I thought that usually, even on a work boat, that you get more than 1,000 hours. Do you have any idea? Does that matter whether it's a 110 horse or whether it's a 150 or a 200?
No, it really shouldn't matter the size, but yeah, I would think if you know, it being a four-stroke, and if you maintain it properly, change that oil every 100 hours and lower unit, and you know, tune it every 300, new plugs and everything else, it should last longer than that. Because I know some of these Hondas, like I'm running, they're, man, I know people that have 7,000 and 8,000 hours on them without ever going into the power head or anything.
Wow. So on a 110, you think, and I know she has been maintaining it and following whatever the Yamaha schedule is like, but so you think that getting up into the 5,000-6,000 hours wouldn't be a problem?
Well, I don't know about that with Yamaha. I know Hondas are real notorious for that. That's why the Coast Guard and a lot of your government agencies run them, because they are so dependable and the longevity is unbelievable. But it, you know, unless she's just totally overworking that motor, you know, pushing a real heavy boat with it and dogging on it all the time. But no, if you're just normal wear and tear and everything, yeah, she should get, I would think she'd get 1,500, 2,000 hours out of it before ever having to go into the power head or anything. You said oyster catcher. You talking about the bird oyster catcher?
Yeah, the bird.
Yeah.
So she worked in shallow water a lot in West Bay. And I had seen some posts on the web saying that, yeah, you know, you can easily get 5,000 to 6,000 hours out of one if you will maintain it. But I didn't know if it mattered that she was working in the shallow waters a lot.
No,
you know,
as long as she keeps it flushed out and replaces the water pump, the impeller and everything every couple of years, that it should be fine. But being in West Bay, that water's a lot saltier there year-round, and it's real critical. She needs to keep it flushed out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she does. She's taking care of all that, you know, because she went a long time without having it, so she's pretty careful with it. But I just didn't know if I could say with all the silt, the shallow water work she was doing, if that.
Yeah, that as long as she doesn't suck it up in there and not flush it out properly when she gets in, then you'll start deteriorating internal, you know, your water jacketing areas around the heads and everything else. But now if she flushes it properly every day when she gets in, she ought to be fine, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you much.
Maintenance is the key to anything.
Especially in salt water, yeah.
Oh, in salt water, you got that right. And you know what I always do when I first get a new engine is I'll take the cowling off, and I'll get a can of silicone spray, and I'll completely spray it down all the, I'll coat the, all underneath, all the parts on the engine itself with a silicone, and just to stop any kind of corrosion, to keep it from inhibiting, you know, getting in these little nooks and crannies where your wires plug together and all that stuff, and it sure seems to make a difference. I know that all my engines, when I sell them, everybody's still running them, and they're still working properly and haven't had no trouble with them at all. So,
You've had I forget his name, but you've had a guy that comes in and talks with you every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm going to get him back on here pretty soon. It's getting time to come in and have a maintenance Sunday again on outboards and all that. That's Fernando Ramondi over at FCJ Marine. Those guys know their stuff, and he's real. You know, he's real lenient with sharing his knowledge and helping people take care of their boats. And plus, they do really fine work over there also.
Where are they located? You say FCJ?
Yeah, FCJ Marine. It's right off of 146. From the Kima Bridge, he's 3 miles south of there. So if you're going, if you're in that San Leon, you know, Bay Cliff area, going back towards Kima, he's on the right-hand side if you're going north on 146, next to that big motorcycle place.
Oh, okay, and, all right.
He's tucked in right there, and the lot's always full. And that tells you.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, I'll pass on to her that you might have a mate this Sunday coming up sometime. And,
yeah, they're real good at that, man. They just make an appointment. They'll get you in and out and going down the road. You betcha.
All right. Well, thanks so much. You have a good day.
Okay, thanks for the call, John. See you, man.
All right.
Have a good Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Later.
You too.
All right. Well, phone lines are open. Somebody wants to give us a call up here. We are open for business on Open Line Fund Sunday, 713-572-4610. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Those sausage and cheese sticks in the same package, dried stick with a piece of sharp cheddar cheese with it. You can just squeeze it out like a Cool Pop. When you take one bite, you get cheese and sausage in the same bite. That was, whoever thought of that thought of something really cool.
I'll be doggone.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
And they had that nice fountain out in front of that hotel that you were talking about that everybody always put a box of Tide in.
Yeah.
And you go around that circle there on Main Street, the cars will be skidding off on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and driving through big old walls of foam, you know, bubbles.
Yeah.
Pranks. Boy, you'd really go to jail for that nowadays.
Your next sporting event would be the prison rodeo.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Shows on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:36 in the Bayou City on this open line Sunday. Got a few lines available. Call us 713-572-4610. All right, let's get to Ronnie and Alvin on one. Ronnie, good morning.
Morning, Mickey. How you doing?
I'm good. I hadn't heard from you in a while. How you been, Ronnie?
I've been okay. I've been watching that Brooks Koepka almost since he started. And that record he's got going in the majors is something else. I mean, that, you know, for somebody to target the majors like he's doing is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. He's always in the top 10. And if he wins today, that'll put him right at a 500 average, winning half of the majors he's played in.
Exactly.
That's pretty impressive.
That's incredible. I mean, And just the number of them that he's placed in is, you know, he's generally always in the top 10 when he loses. I mean, he's in there.
Oh, yeah. Look at the Masters. He had that double bogey. That probably cost him the Masters.
I know it.
He actually should have won that.
Yeah, he had a shot at it.
He sure did.
He
kind of let Tiger in when he did that. I mean, he's just so incredibly strong. I mean, yesterday he was having a little trouble off the tee. He wasn't hitting all the fairways like he had done the past 2 days, and you get in that rough there. Hey, I've walked that entire course at Bethpage when my nephew played there in the U.S. Open in 2009, and I want to tell you what, that's a beast of a course. I mean,
yeah.
And when you get in that rough, I mean, the secondary cut, it's not too bad. You can catch flyers out of that with your irons on your approach shots. But when you get in that heavy rough, you've got to be some kind of strong to muscle that ball out of there and put it up on the green like he was doing yesterday. That just to get it out of there and keep your distance controlled or you get it on the green, period, is unreal. And people, you know, looking at it on TV, when these guys get in those bunkers, you have no idea how deep off the greens those bunkers are, and it's just it's incredible how hard and difficult that course plays if you miss the fairways. If you're in the rough, you're in trouble all day. I mean, look what happened to Jordan Spieth yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, look what—that was the fall of Tiger this week. He couldn't hit a fairway, and you're not going to win on that course unless you can keep the ball in play.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not in the fairway, you can add just about for every hole you miss. If you save par, it's a miracle.
It is.
It's a miracle.
That place is a goat ranch, man. I mean, you got to be a mountain goat to walk that course. It's easier on the golfers because they've got a straight shot from tee to green when they walk down the fairways. But if you're a spectator and you're following a golfer, I'll tell you what, you better have your mountain goat shoes on, especially if it's wet and raining like it was that year I was there. Boy, that was brutal.
Man. What's amazing to me is how someone can hit the ball as straight as he does. You know, even when he missed, some of them, he wasn't 10 inches out of the fairway, but he was in trouble.
Yeah, that's it. And some of those fairways are really tight. It's like TV doesn't do it any justice. You get there and get behind a tee box and look down that fairway. These guys are smoking that ball down there like Dustin Johnson, 330, 340, and hitting those small, very small landing zones. That's
right.
Just incredible to be able to do so. It takes a lot of talent, man, especially when you got a little bit of crosswind and you got to work the ball, you've got to cut it or draw it. It's quite a feat. Those guys are the best for a reason. They're really that good.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt about it. It's a pleasure. I don't know how many people, you know, on the outdoor show like golf, but
one thing I've learned over the years, anybody that golfs, fishes, and anybody that fishes probably has golfed one time or two or another, you know. They both go hand in hand. It's an outdoor deal, and you wouldn't believe all my nephew, I mean, everybody knows on the tour, everybody likes to fish. Fish and hunt. They're big-time outdoorsmen.
Yeah. What's amazing to me, too, Mickey, I started playing golf back in the 60s. And by the 70s, Nicklaus was coming on real strong, you know.
Boy, those were the days, weren't they? Nicklaus and Palmer and Player and all that bunch.
And anyway, I bought me a set of McGregor tourney clubs. You know, Nicklaus was sponsored back then by McGregor. And it's a registered set. I mean, the woods and the irons, they all got the same number on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got those clubs. And I took them out, I guess, about 15 years ago. My wife's cousin is a big-time duffer golfer, you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's fanatic, yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, I went and played with him, and I had those clubs, and oddly enough, he plays left-handed too. And I was having all kinds of trouble. I live by a golf course, and I used to stay halfway tuned up, you know what I mean. I'd go to practice range and...
Mm-hmm.
When you get in that membership, well, you can practice all you want. You know, you can go to their driving range. And so, anyway, I was hitting bad stuff. And he said, why don't you swing some of these clubs I got? He said, that stuff you got's way out of date. And so I did, and it was amazing how much better I could do. And also the balls. He played with modern balls, and I had balls that I had gathered up back in the 60s, you know.
Yeah, there's no comparison.
There's no comparison.
No, it's like fishing equipment now versus, you know, all that old fishing stuff, I call it World War II tackle now because it's not even in the hunt with what we use to fish with, and same way with golf equipment, and everything, baseball gloves. I mean, technology these days is just it just makes everybody so much better and consistent.
Oh yeah,
it really does.
But it still doesn't take out the talent part of it. You know,
no, that's what I like about golf. No matter how, I mean, you got to have the talent. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, really, it's the same way in fishing. You can get all that gear, but if you don't know how to fish, it ain't going to do you much good.
Hey, if somebody's really good and very talented at fishing, he can catch them on a hoe handle, you know?
Well, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's always better to make things, you know, these new lighter rods and the sensitivity and the quick actions with the live tips. And it's incredible how far we've come in just a short time from when I started doing this. I mean, I'd give anything in the world to go back 35, 40 years with equipment and lures and everything that we have these days. There's no telling what I would have done. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Mickey, that's true in life, too. I mean, if you could just go back those same years and know what you know now, you could do better in everything you chose to, you know, to pursue.
Yeah, look at vehicles now. I mean, back when I was growing up, if you could get 100,000 miles out of a vehicle, you were doing something. Now that's just, that's every day. I mean, 100,000 is nothing on these new vehicles.
I had an '04 Ford that I bought from a friend of mine because he sold it so cheap I couldn't hardly turn it down. He was going to trade it in and he found out what the difference was in making a cash down payment on his new truck. And, you know, they don't offer you too much on trade-in.
No,
well, he sold it to me for what they offered him. So, anyway, I drove that truck, and I drove it till I had 275,000 miles, and I was nervous after when I got the first 100,000.
Yeah, not but anymore.
That truck never failed me. I mean, the only thing was that it was... They had like a coil on each spark plug, you know?
Yeah.
And they had those spark plugs that were heck to get out of there. And when I changed the spark plugs, it cost me almost $600 because they had to drill them out.
Oh, yeah.
But those spark plugs had 210,000 miles on them. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, back in the day, what we have to replace spark plugs every 12, 24,000 miles. They were pretty
something
much
like touched. That, yeah.
Nowadays, you can, you know, two spark plug changes in the life of a vehicle. That's crazy. But that just tells you how good the ignition systems are and everything else. And all right, Ronnie, I got to run, man. I got some more callers I got to get to before the 6
okay,
o'clock
buddy.
Hour. And it's good to hear from you. Glad you're doing okay, my friend. Take care.
Enjoy talking to you, Mickey.
You bet, buddy. See you. All right. All right, let's go to Ray in Highlands. He's next. Ray, good morning, sir.
Well, I don't want to have to go back 50, 60 years because that put me in that 52 Chevrolet that didn't even have air conditioning and stick shift. And crank
I'm telling you. Hey, and with three on the tree and you'd be driving down the highway and it'd jump out of third into neutral. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My dad had one of those. We'd be going down the freeway in Houston and they'd jump out of third into neutral. And he'd have to push a clutch in and grind it back into third and go on down the road, man. I remember
and
that.
It always happened at the most inopportune time.
Always.
Well, Lake Houston is back within its bounds now, so at least we won't get that down the San Jacinto River for a while.
Yeah.
Time. So, I've kind of made a habit of going up and getting my string jerked up there just for the sake of not having to drive all the way around to Stingery to get in where you can catch a fish.
Yeah, go get in line with everybody else over there and elbow up so you can catch something.
You know, it's 88 miles, land miles, from here to Stingery, and it's sure as heck not like I've been opposed to doing that in my lifetime, you know. Driving over there to get their soft shell crabs and belly up to the bar and talk to Jimmy West while you're having a stingery. I've done a million times, but these days to hook up the boat and go around there, I don't know. I'm a little reluctant. But anyway.
Did I lose you? Oh, I thought I lost
No,
you.
No, I'm still there. We've got that deal going on where I can hear the feed in the background.
Oh.
So anyway, but you're putting some mileage on trying to go to the fishing hole right now yourself, aren't you?
Oh yeah, that's I guess from my house to Stingery is 77 miles.
When you go around there, do you go via Winnie or do you cut through the?
No, I'll cut through the refuge. I'll take 1985 to 124 and then hang a right and go down to 87.
Well, the good thing about going that way is once you get past the split there, you can go 150 miles an hour all the way over there.
Well, yeah, you can if no hogs are in the road. Dana hit a hog yesterday morning pulling around there.
Oh, brother. Boy, I tell you what, I hate you even brought that up. We're having an epidemic of them here in our neighborhood.
Mm.
I'm telling you, I don't know what, I guess I'm probably going to wind up fencing the back.
Well, they're running it. They're running out of habitat.
Like,
I mean,
no, absolutely.
They're just nowhere for them to live anymore. I mean, deer, hogs, all of it. We're just squeezing them out.
They're all ganging up in my backyard back here in the yards of my neighbors. But anyway, you know, I had to laugh yesterday. You and Vaughn talked about that Ronson lighter fluid and Varsol and all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when Humble, and that, who's going to even know who Humble Oil and Refining Company, when they first put that Varsol out, that kind of changed all of our lives, didn't it?
It did, man. It, boy, it's a good way to clean stuff and even clean stuff off your hands.
You remember for a long time, just select Humble service stations had it in bulk and you had to take their own jug over there to get it.
Yeah, or you could get you one of those vat systems set up where you had that 25-gallon barrel that it set on with a washer.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the old Varso saw washers?
You know, yeah, well, you know, you still see those around.
Do you?
But that's right, you know, the little washing stations.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think Skeeter's got one in the back of their place right now.
I'm sure he does.
But anyway, but now Exxon, they start this, you can buy it in that gallon jug now, so that kind of takes the fun out of going and watching the nice Humble service station guy crank that rotary pump and fill your jug up. But
I remember those days.
It's been a while ago. Now, those are the old days that we don't like to remember.
Right, exactly.
Well, anyway, that's about all I know. There's not much fishing news. The OFS animation is showing that fresh water starting even to consume a lot of East Bay over there.
Yeah, it's Hannah's was fresh yesterday, a bunch of people told me, and all that wind, it was just chocolate milk and fresh as it could be.
Well, I just don't know. And of course, you know, we're lucky that we missed this little rainstorm or rain event that just passed us by to the north, but guess where? It's up there dumping it in the Trinity River watershed.
Oh, that's it. It's hitting the watershed, and Rayburn got slammed, all that area up there through Broadus and all that, and Lufkin. So there's going to be more. You know, Rayburn's back up to 4 foot above pool already after they getting that lake back to normal.
Oh, you got to be kidding. Four feet above already?
That's what Will told me yesterday morning.
Well, boy, I mean, they must have got a blast in up there. But it's been raining up there for a month.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
It is nuts.
Well, I guess we'll get to listen to George Jones sing the anthem here in a minute.
Well, maybe so. It just depends on what he plugs in there this morning. All right, buddy. Ray, have a good Sunday. Good hearing from you, man.
Okay. We'll check with you later.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right. Let's go to Don real quick before the top. Don, good morning. What's up?
Morning, Captain Mickey. Look, I joined that CCA Star Tournament the other day.
Yes, sir.
And I was just curious. I know you can launch her off the Texas City Dyke and get to Moses Lake, but there used to be a marina kind of on the backside of Moses Lake where you go right into it. What was the name of that? Do you remember?
Man, I knew you were going to ask me that. I know right where it's at, but I can't remember the name of it. Maybe a caller will call in and I can tell you the name of it. Or somebody will text it to me because... Yeah, I know where you're talking about, and it's still there. It's still open because
I think it was called the Fish Spot or something like that.
I think it's called the Spot, maybe. Maybe it's the Spot.
Okay.
But it's still there. It's still there.
appreciate it, because I'm planning on launching there, not so far of a run.
Yeah, and on windy days, that'll help you. Now, with these above normal tides, a lot of times, sometimes they'll close that gate to Moses Lake, so don't get trapped in on the outside of it if you go out
right.
of there. Because I know some guys the other day went in there from the outside, and they got stuck in there, and a buddy of mine had to go pick them up at the spot and take them back to topwater and get their trailer and then go pull their boat out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When you got these coastal flood warnings, they a lot of times they close the tide gate there.
Well, I'm good to know. I didn't even know they'd done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on that. Take that in consideration.
I appreciate it.
All right, Don. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.